to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Good morning, Louisville. This is Herbert Johnson. Kevin's got another engagement this morning, but we got a fantastic show today. And we're having the members of the Black Six bring a little history to us to being the last week of Black History. We're going to end with some of the historical stuff around some of the violence and people marching against what I call, can you hear a sound? Okay, all right. So some of the brutality that the city went through and the people that stood up for everybody's rights. So, you know, we're going to have a good show and looking forward to it. We got Sam Hawkins in the studio today with his wife, and we got Walter Cosby on the phone. And myself and Alexis Jones are going to try to pitch it for Dr. Fields. But so let's go. So we're looking forward to what we do here, Sam, is we kind of start out with give us a little bio. So we got Walter Cosby on the call. You there, Walter?
Yes, I am, Herb.
Okay, all right. So let's start with Sam with a little bio, just a little history of the Black Six and what his involvement was. Sam?
Okay, first of all, I want to thank the Lord God Jehovah and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being here this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to come in and speak on the issues. My bio is that coming out of Western Kentucky, that's where I was born at, and out of a little town called Cutaway, K-U-T-T-A-W-A. And coming to Louisville, Kentucky with my family back in the 1940s, we reside here. My first adventure is, I would say, with discrimination happened when I was going to Manley Junior High School. That was my first adventure at that time.
Thank you, Sam. Walter, you on the line still?
Beg your pardon, Herb, I didn't hear you.
Just give us a little bio about yourself and a little bit about your dad.
Well, I happen to be a descendant of one of the Black Six. I'm Walter Jr. My dad was Walter Sr. And I now reside in Washington, D.C., by the way of Louisville, Kentucky. And my dad's deal with the Black Six and the racial issues in that time was just trying to stand up for what he thought was his right, along with Sam Hawkins, and some of the other members of the Black Six. And as the same thing we want today, we just want what we entitled to as American citizens, no more, no less.
So thanks for that, Walter. Ms. Hawkins, introduce yourself.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Patricia Hawkins. Most folks call me Trish, and I am Sam's wife. When I first met Sam, I had no idea what people were talking about when they would make comments like, do you know who he is? Do you know what he did? And I thought I was in trouble dating the wrong guy. But truly, then they would make more sense saying things like, well, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have gotten this job, or I couldn't have moved into this house. Or one woman said to me that I thought was wonderful, she said, I never knew I was beautiful. And that kind of broke my heart. But my husband, as far as I've come to know him since early on, tries to lift other people up and let them know that there is justice available for them and how to go and get it.
And Mr. Hawkins, for those who do not know, for our listeners, can you kind of walk us through the arrest, what led up to the arrest of the Black Six and how that impacted your life?
Well, what happened was in 1968, in May of 1968, we had had some problems with the police department as we were marching back and forth. And what happened was a young man named Manfred Reed and his friends were seeing a friend being abused by a police officer. And they went to intervene, not with the act of trying to interfere to stop it through violence, but they tried to explain that they knew the gentleman that was being abused at that particular time. And what they were saying to that officer was, well, we know him, and you know, we know that he hadn't do anything like robbing any banks because he was just with us not long ago. And so the officers told them, Officer Clifford said, well, you're interfering in our business and you need to move on. And he took a nightstick and put it against Mr. Reed, Manfred Reeves, and pushed him down. And that's where the squabble started. That's how the thing actually started. So we followed up on that. We had some people that we knew that said, look, we need to bring in some more prominent people into the community to be able to speak on issues like this. So we were asked to see if we could speak to Mr. Carmichael, because I had been down in at Dr. King's funeral the month before. And I was asked to go see and speak to Mr. Carmichael, and I spoke to Mr. Carmichael and was told to come to Washington, D.C. To speak with him and see if we could bring him down.
And how did that impact your life and the rest of the Black Six?
Well, it kind of greatly impacted. You know, I'm the kind of person that feel, you know, I go on when I'm a striver. And I go on, and it was a part of the condition and movement that I felt that I made when I got involved with civil rights and acting with racial injustice. It wasn't one of those things that I felt like that I had to have, and I tell my wife this all the time, that I don't have to have accolades or those type of things, because it was a service in my community, and this is what I was doing. And we were incarcerated. And it was a strange incarceration, because we were locked up and we were put on a bond called a nuisance bond. Well, a nuisance bond in those days were only about $10, and that was for prostitution. That's what a nuisance bond was. But we were put on the $50,000 bond. That affected us very well.
And knowing the racial injustice then, and fast forward to 2024, and we're still seeing the same kind of behavior towards Black individuals, how does that make you feel?
Well, on the 50th anniversary, I had spoken at the anniversary where the event had happened at on 28th and Greenwood, and I had asked a question. You know, I said, what happened between 50 years that we've now gotten our children, whereby they are basically out of control with this violence? When we were marching up and down the streets, and your parents and grandparents were marching up and down the street to try to bring some stability to the city and trying to find places and things for you. So what happened there? So my thing is, I've been speaking kind of around the state right now, and I spoke to some young people with the West End School here about a week and a half ago, and there were some questions that I had need to ask. And so the question you asked me is, then and now. And I see that we're in a full circle. We've returned back to where we actually really was. And some of the words that I asked these young kids is what did they understood was the word like predatory. And how did they feel about that? And also, you know, I spoke to them about, you know, our community still being underserved at this particular time. And I spoke about the disingenuous government that we have. And I also spoke about marginalizing our citizenship.
All right. Mr. Herbert?
Yes. I'd just like to make a comment to Sam. I knew Sam before I knew about the Black Six, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And, you know, Sam, you really are a trailblazer, man, because I had no knowledge of you being a part of the Black Six, even knowing what the Black Six was. But what I do know and don't remember was that your presence always was a man of integrity. When you walked into the bank, everybody spoke. Everybody, how you doing, Sam? And without knowing, saying one word about who Sam Hawkins was. So, you know, I can attest that in the community, anybody that doesn't know you is that you've always been a leader. And, you know, glad to know you and glad to know who you are.
Thank you, Herbert.
All right, brother. All right. And Miss Manford, Miss Hawkins, I'm sorry. Let's have you say a little bit about, you know, what it's been, you know, for your trail in life, being around, you know, your husband being one of the Black Six.
Well, obviously, it's a point of pride for me. I grew up in a family, we were taught very much so, that everyone is truly equal. And as time goes on, it's a deeper and deeper meaning for myself, for my husband. We try very hard to follow the Lord, and we have to rely on him a lot when we keep seeing things go so awry in our society. But as you said, Sam just naturally is around people and welcoming to people everywhere we've ever lived together. Within a week, he knows almost everybody's name on the block, not because they come to him, because he goes to them. He makes them know, look, I'm here, I'm your neighbor, I'd love to do anything I can for you. And we're just like old folks. We tend to sit out on the front porch, and everybody who goes by knows who we are, and they all wave. And that's just who he is. Then the flip side is, he's a very serious man. He's a very serious man.
What a blessing.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Yes, it is. All right. And so I know that the city has put a marker up in regards to the Black Six, Sam. So give me your thoughts on that. And, you know, I'm sure you're happy about it, but let the community know what that meant to you when you saw that marker go up.
Well, I thank you very much. And Brother Cosby, I think Brother Cosby's still with us, right?
Yes, he is. Yes.
And about his father. Well, you know, his father was a part of this event. And I just want to say that I was very appreciative of the mayor, Mary Fisher, doing that. And I especially appreciated Rachel Pratt, because this is, you know, her and Joy was the ones that put this program together. And they brought us before the Fraser Center, and she asked the questions about 50 years because she was very inquisitive about what happened and why, because the story had never been told, and also there never was an apology given. And I think that's the thing that happened with Brother Cosby, I call Petey, asked that question, you know, because his father, you know, had lost, you know, a lot of his businesses, his home is totally different, Brother Reed and all of us. So my thing is that I appreciate that plaque, because that says something in history that we as a people had the opportunity to be seen as being treated other than fairly. And I appreciate that plaque.
Good, good. So, Walter, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So, Walter, what did it mean to your dad from your perspective of how it impacted your family, the Black Six, and what was going on with the discrimination and violence in being a member of the Black Six? How did that impact your family?
Well, it impacted us economically to a great degree, because we were, quote-unquote, somewhat affluent at that particular time in 1968. My dad and Manfred Reed and a guy by the name of Luther Wilson and Charles Thomas, and these gentlemen had the Cosby Wilson Corporation. Well, unbeknownst to me until I talked to Sam. Sam was saying, well, really, me and your dad wasn't really that close in the Civil Rights Act. We were just in close for black empowerment and equal rights. So they hit us from an economic base. They destroyed us economically. It wasn't that bad as a kid, but when you look back in retrospect, you see what legacy they destroyed.
I see.
And see, when they locked Sam up and locked Miss Bryan up and locked Manfred Reed up, in its totality, it locked the whole families up.
Right, right.
And they put a stigma on them, so that's how it affected us. But, you know, thanks be to God, we were able to survive. And my dad's thing was, man, what don't make you bitter will automatically make you better. And we lived on that premise until the day he died. He was never bitter with the city, but he knew that it was such a great injustice was performed against him.
All right. That's good to know, Walter, because I tell you, my experience with your dad was, I'll never forget this, Walter. And you and I had already went through college together, and I'm sitting at Jay's restaurant, and Mr. Cosby, you know, he and I was at a meeting together, and we went to Jay's, and he said, you gotta meet my family, right? And I never did think about the fact, you know, thinking about PD or whatever, right? So come to find out years later, he's your dad, right? So, you know, it's amazing, man, way things work for folks. But I'm glad to hear that, you know, you talking about, you know, what happened to your family and how it impacted y'all. And y'all, everybody turned out okay. So, you know, because he gave you the spirit of, you know, you never can stop a man that won't stop fighting, right? So it's good for you, man.
There you go.
Yeah, so God bless you, brother. And so let's go back to Sam. Is there anybody else call in, big guy? Nobody called in. So, Sam, you know, you kind of like in the studio with us, so basically this is going to be your hour. You know, you and Lil Peter.
Give me two more minutes, Herb. What I would like to get out of this conversation.
Go ahead.
And for all the listeners, don't let it just be a plaque down there at the in front of the courthouse. Be a place to visit. Take your kids. If you got a Sunday school class, if you got a school, take your kids down and introduce them to that. What the travesty that happened to six black people, so maybe we can prevent it from happening to the next six.
Thank you, Pete.
As long as it's just sitting down there. And we are black, and it is black history. Let's teach the history. They won't let us teach it in the schools, but that don't mean we can't teach it in the homes.
Right. Well said, Walter.
That don't mean we should go down there, man. When you come to this city, it ought to be a place to go see, just like you go to the Louisville Slugger Museum. Go down there and take a picture of the plaque. And you in the plaque. And you black. And the plaque's black.
Yes.
have some pride in the folk that came before you.
That's right.
And Mr. Absolutely. Hawkins, just speaking about children and the next generation, what do you believe the generation now can learn from you all?
Well, my basic thing is when I speak to young people today, I try to do two things. I try to emphasize a change in their life. And my number one thing is, what is your plan? Because what do you want to be? I understand if you want to be a basketball player, you want to be a football player, or whatever you want to be, you have to have a plan. And not only do you have to have a plan, but you got to have somebody that you can fall back on and find out how to get to where you want to go. And the young people of today, you know, like I say, I was very amazed. I was very amazed at seeing these young children in the West End school there, because, you know, my faith on young teenagers kind of diminished a little. Mm. And as I talked to them and explained to them, you know, there are some things that you need to know. You need to know why your family is going through some of the hardships, the things that they're going through, even to this time. As I say, we come back to this this thing. There are some words that you need to know, and those words, like I say, is discriminatory. What does that mean? What is you being discriminated against? But what does it mean, discriminatory? Does that mean that you just having something happening that nobody likes you or whatever it is? And then I say things like explorateur. You're being explored. You know, you're in a community whereby, once again, we're back to this thing where we're being young people as well as seniors. You know, we're being redlined again. And, you know, how did we get back to this? How did from getting in the streets, trying to make changes, trying to bring about, you know, community developments, how did we come back to this circle? And one of those circles is because we're listening to things that we basically think we got a control over. Mm-hmm. And one of our biggest problems is that I explained at the University of Campbellsville to the audience there was that we're no longer dealing, and I believe in Scripture, my wife talked about that, we're really actually no longer dealing with flesh and blood anymore. We're dealing with demonic. We're dealing with the demonic issue right now. And what's happening is when you hear about a man cut his father's head off, decapitate his father's head off because of politics, because he don't like a certain party or because he don't like a certain color, something's wrong. So young people need to understand that we went up and down this street not just to have or to satisfy our thinking, but what we tried to do is we tried to look into the future knowing that change had to be made to make them be better. Right. Now, the organization that I was president over was called BUK, the Black Unity League of Kentucky. Now, a lot of people out there, and I want to say this because, like I tell my wife all the time, I don't try to take accolades or anything like that, but I want to say this. The reason why a lot of you young men are playing at the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville in Western Kentucky is because our organization, the Black Unity League of Kentucky, we went to these institutions and we talked to people like Adolph Ruck, which basically was a racist. And we tried to get them to change. Even the Black University of Kentucky State put all the students off the campus because we came and we spoke to them and tried to get these curriculums changed with Black studies and also athletes being, put in a more prominent position. But they refused to do those things. They refused for a long time, but we kept going, marching. We kept setting our face before them because we would not relent from having to make a change. And I tell these young people right now, listen to me this morning. When you go to jail, you don't go to jail by yourself. You take your community with you. And I'm going to tell you why. See, every 10 years we have a census. And that census has involved money for each community. And in that community, what happens is when you're not there, your friend's not there because you're setting up in jail. And when the census is taken, money is taken out of your community. You're not in that jail cell by yourself. Now, what you think you might have done, you might have had pride in it or whatever it is, but that's not what's happening out here in our community. Why are we, as Black youth, killing each other? Mm-hmm. What happened when we used to, you can't say a certain word nowadays. You can't talk about somebody. When I was young, we used to have what we call, you remember, Herbert, we used to have what we call playing the dozens.
Yes, sir. I remember talk that. About
it. Yes, sir. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
What is that?
We're playing the dozens.
Talk about it. I want to hear that. Me too.
You know, you talk about your mother and all of that kind of stuff. Like, you know, somebody else's family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
right,
you know,
right.
And the offense was it was a joke. But you can't say that today.
I understand.
You can't speak to these young children and say things like talk about their mother or something, you know, that's derogatory, but in a comical sense. But they can go to a comic.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, sir, I'm listening.
Do you remember this one? My mama and your mama were hanging up clothes. My mama hit your mama in the nose. Did it hurt?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There you go, Walter.
Yes, sir. That's what I want to say to young people. Yeah. We see the violence out there. And I spoke on these issues years ago. You know, somebody knows somebody's just doing the killing. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me that you don't know. See, people that do things, they want to boast about it. So your friend's going to talk about, yeah, I knocked him off. I did this. I did that. But see, what we're not into, because we think, because we speak up. You know, we got this thing, this criminal law, well, you a snitch if you tell on such and such and so. But you're talking about murder. You're talking about the killing your brother. Over what? What are you killing him with? Over a woman? Over some alcohol? Over some dice? What are you killing each other about? What is it so grievous about right now that black people, young youth, have got to kill each other? Because they know each other. They run with each other. They communicate with each other.
And so, Sam, you hit it on the nose. There's a lack of communication in regards to what we are about as a black community. And you just hit it on the nose. And the community ought to be listening to you and get behind this and this, because there's all kind of stuff around balance. You hear about it. But the bottom line is balance is a culture problem. And we gotta face it with that, right?
Yes, sir.
So you appreciate what you're saying to the listeners and to us as a LCC and as to the rest of the Louisville community, because we do need to have that gathering where people come together around, you know, what's in your heart. You know what I mean? And that's what it's all about, right?
Yes, sir.
So with that, Walter, one other question. When all this came up with the potential bringing Black Six back to, you know, the focus of the community and what they did, could you tell me, you know, what do we need to do as young adults or senior adults in the community to get the young people involved with that initiative? You know what I mean? Education, as I always said, is the key to the community coming together. So give me your input on that.
Well, how I see it is this. It starts with your mentality, and it starts in your home. And this gentleman by the name of James Allen has a book out, has been out for years, As a Man Thinketh. And sometimes we refuse to think. We just look in the black community. And what I mean by that is, from day one, we put a basketball in our kid's hand, a tennis racket or something like that. And what this kid does, this kid ends up like me, 5'5", playing on the Buzzards, a college intramural team, with you, that was somewhat successful. But if you had any sense, you'd have said, whoa, at 5'5", your future ain't on the basketball court. Go to the library. We need to introduce our kids to other than what they see on TV. It's got to start in the home. If your kid, he doesn't have to tap dance. He doesn't have to play the drums. Send him to the library.
Amen.
He could be a doctor. He could be a lawyer. When my boy was born, and I went to college with Herb Johnson with him, but it should have been unacceptable for me to be in 055 English. That's remedial English. That should have been unacceptable in my house.
Good point, good point.
But my parents didn't know enough to say, hey, man, you ain't going to get no taller. Man, go to the library where you can be a giant. You're a giant in that library.
Yes.
That's right.
It goes there. So it starts at home, man. Look at your kid. Don't put no baton in their hand. Put a book in their hand first. Teach them to read.
That's good.
Then with me, with my child, with my youngest, I didn't even give him an option.
Yeah.
Man, this is what you're going to do.
That's right. That's right.
When you get grown, you do what you want to do. But in this house, you're going to study. We got to college. Me and you went down there for a golf event. Everybody in the school, in all of our constituents said, what does your son play?
Mm-hmm. Right.
My son plays academics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And good
That's
at it.
That's his game.
Right, right,
it better
right.
Be.
Yeah.
You better not bring a C in here.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Unacceptable.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes.
And I'm saying that I'm not trying to brag or boast. I'm just saying, when you take and put emphasis on your child and your child's future, you got to direct that child in the way that it be conducive.
That's right.
For him to survive. But I can't just take him to every U of L game and every soccer match and every all this other kind of stuff. That's fine, but man, how you doing academically, son? Mm-hmm. Can you read the contract that you want to sign?
There you go, bro.
Don't get me going. I'll take it too far.
That's what it is,
bro. Too far with it, man. But if anything that I could leave with this conversation is if we would take ownership of our own homes and our own kids, of your seed. That's your seed.
Amen. Amen.
Put it in an environment where it can grow, God.
Well, Walter, I appreciate you calling in. I know you're in D.C., and we appreciate you.
Yeah, I got to go, man. I got to get the router. Sam, I love you.
Love you, too, my brother.
Ms. Hawkins, love you, too, sister.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, and we'll see you soon.
We got to pay a few bills, so we're going to take a little break.
Director of Operations of Louisville Central Community Centers, here to introduce you to the gem of West Louisville, the old Warner Street Family Strengthening and Convention Center. Immerse yourself in 30,000 square feet of versatile and top-notch event space designed for your family gatherings, community functions, and corporate events. Our facility is your canvas. Whether you're planning an intimate affair or a large-scale celebration, what sets us apart? Quality. Our commitment to provide a space that enhances your event. Affordability. Ensuring that hosting memorable moments won't break the bank. And of course, accessibility. Enjoy stress-free parking with ample free spaces. On behalf of LCCC, I want to personally invite you to experience the unmatched charm of Old Warner Street. For more information or to book your next event, reach out to me, Deborah Grant, 502-583-8821. Or shoot me an email, dgrant@lcccnews.org. Make your event memorable. Make them at Old Warner Street.
Happy Black History Month, Louisville. This is Reverend Jeffrey Ellis, a retired pastor and city government leader, community activist, and honored member of the Lyman T. Johnson Honor Society. At Louisville Central Community Centers, LCCC stands as a beacon of hope, offering educational opportunities, fostering economic mobility, and creating a place where community spirit thrives. Yet, to continue advancing equity, they need the collective effort of support from all of us. So, I implore you, the heartbeat of Louisville, to stand with me, Reverend Jeffrey Ellis, in backing LCCC. Your donations and volunteerism can truly transform the lives of those who need it most. Discover how you can contribute by visiting lcccnews.org or calling 502-583-8821. Let's unite and ensure LCCC remains strong in our community for decades to come. Help make Black history. Support LCCC.
This is Kevin Fields from Louisville Central Community Center, celebrating Black History Month by honoring Black history makers from right here in Louisville, like Reverend Jeffrey Ellis.
Born and raised in Louisville, Reverend Jeffrey S. Ellis served as pastor of churches here and in Elizabethtown. With over 25 years of ministry, he has overseen the growth and movement of congregations and remains active in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Reverend Ellis is a passionate community activist, having worked with various government agencies and community organizations. As a respected pastor and activist, Reverend Jeffrey S. Ellis continues to inspire positive change and uplift the lives of those around him.
Paying tribute to Louisville's Black history makers, this is Kevin Fields from Louisville Central Community Center. Visit us at 1300 West Muhammad Ali Boulevard or call us 502-583-8821. Check us out online at lcccnews.org. Remember, Black history is American history.
Louisville Central Community Centers is celebrating 75 years of service to the community. LCCC is officially announcing the 75-year challenge and pledge. Join in the celebration and pledge your support by donating $75 today. Your donation goes directly to support the families we serve daily. Mail your donations to LCCC, 1300 West Muhammad Ali, 40203. Call 502-853-8821 or log on to lcccnews.org.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org. To learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador
Passions meet action. And glad to hear the first session with the community with the Black Six. I want to start back with asking Alexa Jones a question. She's been with LCC.
Herbert, I'm here. I don't know if you can you hear me?
I hear you. I hear you on my phone.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Good morning, everybody. I'm doing a live remote today because we have the great honor at LCCC this morning to be hosting Simmons College of Kentucky and their Transform Louisville 2024 breakfast. So it's a who's who in terms of who's in attendance here. We've got great leadership from Mayor Greenberg, Deputy Mayor Barbara Sexton Smith, certainly President Kevin W. Cosby, President of Simmons College, and my pastor. He's here, and the whole Simmons Nation is here. So just as a point of reflection, when I came in this morning, the Simmons drumline was in the house, and you talking about, you know, waking you up early in the morning, getting you excited about the day. There's nothing like having a Simmons Nation drumline here at Old Walnut Street. But I'm glad to be able to jump into this conversation. I have been listening to the first segment. I want to thank Herbert and Alexis for hosting in my absence. And I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but I'm glad that Sam Hawkins is in the studio along with his wife. I'm excited about that, and I certainly heard Walter earlier, Walter Cosby Jr., Petey, our dear friend and colleague. Yes. And I just wanted to reflect a little bit on the Black Six from my perspective, because I think it's great to have this conversation about the Black Six. Here we are on the last day of Black History Month for this year, 2024. And it's great to close with this idea of remembering the Black Six, because I, like you stated earlier, Herbert, you know, we've known Petey for a long time, met his dad back during my time at the Housing Authority. He was a construction company owner at that time. And through him, I met Manfred Reed. Mm-hmm. First time I ever met Manfred Reed, we became acquainted with each other. He joined the board of the Housing Authority, where he made it a full career. And I had an experience, kind of a epiphany, a moment that Manfred Reed approached me. And the year was 1987. And we had hired him and Petey's dad to do some work over at Beecher Terrace. And here we were, maybe almost 30 years later, Manfred Reed doing his retirement celebration at the, he was retiring from the board of the Housing Authority, came to me after I had greeted him and spoke about his experience at the Housing Authority. He said, "I want you to know that the work you gave us in the 80s was the first work I had since 1968. And so I think that's a testament to how devastating this whole Black Six experience was for Sam, for Manfred, for Pete, for Ruth Bryant, and all the others. And here we are today talking about how do we make amends to this group. So I just wanted to ask a question to Sam. Sam, how do we make amends? How does the community do right? I know there's been decades of the missed opportunity and setback, even though you are honored to be a Black Six, but you've been through a lot. So what does the community need to do to make amends? I think there's an opportunity for reparations. Can we talk about that?
I want to thank you, Kevin. Me and you have spoke before on this issue. And as I had come in, I had talked to Herbert and the young lady about doing these reparations that we're going to try to, mm-hmm. to get involved in. Now, the first thing that comes out of one's mouth when you speak of reparations is that white America, that's a fear word. That's a sort of like they monger. That's a fear word, because when they hear the word reparations, well, that means that they feel like that they got to come up, you know, with some funds that we don't deserve. But what that is that we're not going through the normal process, procedure to go through reparations through an act of slavery, a loss of property, or those type of things. What we're going to do is we're going to go through what we call the ICC, the International Criminal Committee. And what that means is, because we were incarcerated, and we were psychologically harmed, and we also lost, you know, businesses like Petey's father and Brother Manfred Reed. So we're going to take a different angle with this reparational issue. We got lawyers that have been looking into it, Brother Bill Allison and some other lawyers, Sherry Hamilton's sister and brother, they're looking into it in Washington, D.C. And so what we're trying to do is that we're trying to come at it, as a different angle. So we're going to be needing help from the community, but what we want the community to do is to voice, you know, what's happened from time gone by. And, you know, we're not trying to take anything. We're trying to just get back what we lost, because Petey had tried to explain his father, and also you explaining that Brother Reed pretty much lost everything. He had a job to, like you say, to you basically helped him out. So that's what we're looking at right now. And I'm just asking the community to be aware that we're going to come out. It's not going to be long now that we're going to petition certain organizations, certain governments, federal, city, and local governments, and we're going to petition for a grievance of looking into these things that have happened over these years.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And so the journey continues, and I was there both at the Frazier experience, the event that Rachel Platt and Joy McAtee hosted, and then I was also there when Mayor Fisher at the time presented, you know, the monument down here on 6th Street. And I heard a lot of stories, and it caused me certainly to do a lot of deep reflection. And as I shared with you, and I'll say it publicly, Mayor Fisher, as he was about to end his term of mayor, made a great gesture by, one, issuing an apology, yes. Public apology, and I think a genuine apology on behalf of the city. But we want Mayor Greenberg to know that he has a great opportunity to make good on that apology.
Thank you, sir.
In a tangible way. And so we will continue to encourage that and support your efforts. And certainly, you know, you can count on our support as an advocate, as a friend, and as an advisor, any way that we can advise and be strategic in helping you to advance the cause. So I just want to say thank you. I'm going to jump off the call, Herbert, back to you and Alexis. You know, one little funny point, I was listening, Herb, about PD talking about being 5'5 and playing on the budgets, of which I was a coach and Herbert Johnson was a six man. And PD
was the eighth man, Kevin.
Yeah, PD was deep on the bench. I think he got in once or twice in the course of two or three seasons.
Yeah, right.
But he was a great cheerleader. I mean, he was a great cheerleader and really was the inspiration behind the coach. He always kept the coach laughing and feeling good and excited. And so he certainly had his calling. But I'm going to jump off, guys. Y'all enjoy the rest of the show.
I appreciate it, brother.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
And Herbert, I just want to remind our listeners that they can call in with their questions on WLLV at 502-795-1019. Again, 502-795-1019.
Thanks, Alessia. Alex, this is a question for you. This is your third weekend on the job with LCC. Give us a little bit of your perspective of what you're doing against compared to what you thought it was, because we do a lot of different things in LCC and wear our hats, you know, hats we wear. So just want to hear your perspective real quick while we're talking Black history, because this is history.
Right. Definitely. I came in as the manager of public relations and development, but I feel like I've just learned more than what my job title is. I mean, just sitting next to you, Mr. Hawkins, and, you know, just past guests and just the people that I come in contact with daily, it just has been a blessing just to be around such Black excellence every day with you, Herbert, and also Mr. Fields. I'm just really, really blessed to be here and just to learn from y'all and just take it all in.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you. All right.
May I say one thing?
Go right ahead.
This beautiful young woman, she opened the door this morning. That was the first thing out of my mouth. My Lord, you are beautiful. And she is. But as we talk about these things that were done in history, I look at her and I listen to her and I think about the fact that they wouldn't have been able to do that back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That could not have happened without people like my husband, right, and Pete Cosby and Sherry's mom and all the good people across the country. But I watch Mayor Greenberg, and I see all of the changes he is trying to make. And I believe he genuinely wants to show appreciation and build up this community. And I think he does focus a lot on the West End, and that's great. But I also think, again, with Mayor Fisher, and I believe we just spoke about that, he took the time to make sure that this was his last official act. He was going to put a plaque up and show that these people really did something, as evidenced by this beautiful young woman who is here, who is intelligent, who is encouraging, as opposed to the other young Black folks who are the ones my husband is talking about. What is wrong? Why are you so angry with each other? Why aren't you growing from this? When he spoke 50 years ago, and the young woman who was killed here, I cannot believe I can't remember her name right now. The one who was shot in the apartment building.
Breonna Taylor.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. God love you. Ooh, getting old is not fun. But Sam was interviewed about that, and he said something that I really never thought about. You know, the big upset was, oh, there's so much violence, and these people are just going crazy, and they're the problem. Well, no, they were not the problem. But what Sam told the people was, look, I've been in a lot of marches. And if you have anybody who comes on that march and they have a brick or a bottle or whatever they have, that is not part of the community that was there to actually protest. So be careful who comes in around you, because that is not who you want representing you.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And since then, there's been a huge push for change when it comes to just the justice system and the criminal justice system.
Yes.
And Mr. Hawkins, do you see just a few things that you would like to still change today?
Yes, ma'am. There are a lot of things. When I first spoke up about them, and I tried to say some things, and I'm going to kind of, if you don't mind, it's going to take me about 2 minutes. I'm going to kind of read off what I've been speaking to people about, because as I told Herbert, there's a change, and this change happening right now is not a normancy. And there's a reason why it's not a normancy anymore. I'll say it again, you know, and I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head with the Bible, but I'm saying once again, we're living in a demonic age right now. We can look around and see things happening and the voices of people. And I tell people this thing right here. I said, once again, our community has been underserved by our government. It's been disingenuous. Vulnerable people in our community being marginalized. Once again, yes, discrimination laws are in place to stop the vote. Okay? Yes, exploratory and predatory laws are being enacted against our neighborhood and our businesses. And look at this. The word woke is a revisionary look back on our past. Back on our past. That's what woke is supposed to mean. So who are we listening to, and why are we listening to them? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that I ask people right now. And I'm telling them, the words that we're listening to, these words are made up to change. It's called counter narratives, mm-hmm. okay, which is replacing the word for lie, okay, and alternative facts, accepting the lie and right. untruth, and I'm warning people. And then I go to this thing about purity, white grievance. What is white America grieving about? They run the country. They got everything economically, all of these different things. But then I go into the thing about here's what the whole deal is all about. The whole deal is that we are listening to people on these radio shows, not this one and others, that we're listening to people on these radio shows that are basically handing over our country to these frame of thoughts, these mind illusionists, and what they are, Facebook, and that's what I tell these young people, get your mind out of that phone that you're looking at, because when I speak, my wife can tell you this, when I speak, before I speak, here's the first thing I ask people to do before I speak. I say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out your phone. I want you to hold your phone in your lap till I get through speaking, because I'm going to come back to the issue. And then I say, if you have a laptop, I want you to have that also. And here's what I tell them. I said, the most dangerous thing to people today is what you're holding in your hand, which is the phone, whatever phone that you hold. Because what it brings is to you, it brings in this new thing, and it's called a right-hand turn. And what it does, it's social media, mm-hmm. talk radio, extreme media. These are the most dangerous things. They're more dangerous than the atomic bomb, because what comes out of the mouth is a split tongue issue, and it's demonic in itself. Because we get on these radio stations, once again, I apologize, it's not this one, but we get on them and what we're listening to, and the reason why the nation is divided is because we can't get our face out of facial media, our social media, these radio talk extremes. And so we got an extreme thing going on in this country, just like they had when Rome fell. It fell within. It did not fall without. It fell within. So we're living in a time right now whereby we either got to make a change, and I don't think we can do it. I think we're under precedence right now that is about coming to an end. And I'm telling you, our youth, I look at them. Like I said, I went to that West End school. I love them. Man, it was so brightened up my mind. So good to know that we got young black people out there that are really thinkers, trying to make a change and trying not to be hung up in this exploratory thing. So I'm sorry.
No, that was perfectly said. And do you have any closing comments or just one last message that you really want to drive home to the community, especially when it comes to unity and how to move forward when it comes to justice?
Well, justice is basically put in the hands of those today. I'm speaking of today. Justice is put in the hands of those who basically have taken off their hood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We used to have people ride around the country with hood on that we didn't know who they were or whatever. But today, they shed that hood, and we know exactly who they are. We can see their face. And they tell you straight to your face what they think about you and what they want to do to you. And I'm saying, communities, get ready, because come this election in November, and I know this word is going out, this election in November depends not upon what they call democracy, but it depends upon you being here, because this is the most dangerous action that's going to happen at that voting booth this year. Mm-hmm. And you better beware of what you're saying, brothers and sisters.
Right.
When I hear these people talking about black folks are abandoning whatever it is. Well, you all don't abandon, but you better beware of what you're saying, because you're listening to somebody that somebody else is listening to that's feeding these lies to you. Wake up, America, because we are definitely in danger of losing our souls. Thank you.
Sam, I really appreciate your last comment there. It's time for Black America to wake up, and you're right about that. So appreciate having you and the wife in today and getting history and knowledge of what took place with the Black Six. And we've got a few more minutes, so you want some final comments, Ms. Hawkins?
Excuse me, yes. I guess what I would say is get off your phone, like Sam said, and get in the face of people. It's a lot harder to look right at somebody and say what you really feel, whether it's nice or not nice. It's much more difficult to do in someone's face. And it's much more difficult to go up to somebody and shake their hand in person and say, I'd love to get to know you, as opposed to looking at somebody who's looking at you wearing the wrong clothes or whatever they might be doing and shooting.
Right,
that's easy.
Right.
Try the hard stuff.
Basic stuff.
Basic
communication. I agree with you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's pretty much our show for today. And we really appreciate all the listeners. And stand by. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.